This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Can you imagine the tension, the fear, the time of prayer and consecration?
Sure.
And
yeah.
Lord, how do I approach this subject in this platform?
Yep, absolutely.
In my platform, I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a white guitarist at my church.
Mm-hmm.
And this boy's bad. He used to play with, I forget the guy, he passed away. Something Diamond.
Lance Diamond.
Lance Diamond.
He played for Lance Diamond?
He was a lead guitar for Lance Diamond. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ponytail with a Kiss t-shirt on. He wears black pants, white shirt, and a black tie. Some of them is a Kiss t-shirt. He kills it every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I asked him one time, I says, "You're the only white person in this church. Have I ever offended you?" He says, "No." If I've used, and I understand, like, in, we're trying to get away from even an African American church, because we can't just go around dropping the N word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we accustomed to doing. If we're going to embrace this multicultural kingdom mindset type of ministry. I got a friend in California who has African, Indian, Hispanic, white, black.
Yeah, Southern California is it's the most diverse representation of the kingdom in the country I've seen.
I took a picture.
Yeah.
With a Native American, Hispanic, black, and white guy. I'm in the middle, holding arms with all these guys. That's the kingdom.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's more of what's to come today on Christ Together Radio as we discuss some of the issues that are facing the church today. We have our special guest today, Andre Clark, who you just heard from, talking about the uniqueness of some of the interracial context of the church, maybe out in Southern California. Ryan Cozy, you heard from briefly, my co-host on Christ Together Radio. He's the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel at Cross Point. Myself, Brett Larson, general manager of WDCX. We've taken this time on Sunday mornings from 11 to noon to kind of share with you what God is doing as he's on mission in Western New York. And kind of a unique radio show. It's not very typical. We're talking about kind of whatever comes to our mind. And I want it to be just kind of a round table discussion of what God is doing. Last week we had Vincent Clark, Andre Clark's brother, who is with the Buffalo Urban League, also an elder at New Direction Christ Fellowship Church, which is the church that Andre shepherds. They call him Shep.
Yeah.
So Shep's joining us today. And we've had some amazing discussions off mic. And we just wanted to turn the mic on. And as Shep was talking, we turned the mic on and figured we'd start the program that way. But I want you to stay tuned to Christ Together Radio, because we're going to be kind of, I hate that word unpacking, it's overused, but I don't know, have a better word.
Let's
for
unpack
it. So let's unpack. We're going to unpack we're going to talk about some serious things, like what is going on in the world around us. You know, in the last several months, we've seen some pretty upset people in cities like Charlotte and Tulsa and in a lot of different contexts. So as we discuss this stuff, I want you, our friends and listeners, to have an open mind and to just listen maybe a little bit and don't immediately jump to your preconceived notions. Don't jump to your last Facebook post, which we're going to talk about. don't jump to anything. Just sit and listen and see if God can speak to your heart in some way, shape, or form. And again, it's Christ Together Radio. If you want more information on Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, go to Christ Together Radio, and tune in. You can email us at ctr@WDCXradio.com for more information, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can. Sometimes there's a week or so turnaround, but we'll try to answer. Some of you have done that, and great questions and great response for what's going on here. So stick around. Andre Clark, the shepherd of New Direction Christian Fellowship Church on Fillmore Avenue in Buffalo, and we're talking about some of the racial issues that face the church today and how we can join together to serve to serve our Savior better in a missional context. So stick around.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where talk show hosts and producers have hair. That's right, Boron. We got some hair down in here.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson with my former co-host, Ryan. Ryan
said something off air that was not good. This was my last episode.
Ryan's a pastor of missional engagement at the Chapel of Crosspoint and is coming. I now know what his motive in coming to WDCX to do this program with us is, and it's to steal my people. He's offering...
They're God's people.
He's offering Josh Myers... Yeah, exactly.
They're not your people.
It's all for the mission. He's offering Josh Myers like free cars and parking spots near the door. Oh, boy. Anyway, Christ Together Radio, Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy hosting today, and we've invited Andre Clark, better known as Shep, down to talk to us. Down to the station, actually not that far from your context of ministry there on Fillmore Avenue. A New Direction Christian Fellowship is Andre's church. Do you guys have a website or some information?
No, we're actually, this is the crazy thing. Okay. There's a story behind that. Because of the relationship that we're building with a lot of the suburban churches, mm-hmm. the Akron Free Methodist Church came to us and says, do you have a website? I says, I'm actually getting one built now. He says, send me the bill.
Oh, my goodness.
Was that Pastor Rick?
Yes.
He's a great dude.
Send me
Pastor Rick Rouse.
The bill. Yeah. See, we have to have relationships. If we're going to deal with race, mm-hmm. you can't take relationship out. And the reason why there's racism is because we've taken relationship and friendship and listening out of America.
Wow.
That's why we have racism.
Before the break, we started the show with you talking about how interesting it was to view churches in different contexts. And I think did you go out to California? Was that what it was? Tell me about that experience and what it meant to you.
I have a beautiful friend that I met in Riverside, California, who has a church in Santa Maria. And I was there for a week with my wife. He said, take the train. Why don't you come preach for me Sunday morning? Took the train. Beautiful train, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
On the coast. And I go to church, and I am so shocked. Because there is no race issue in this community, because they're all in the same church. Black, white, Hispanic, Native American, Asian is in this church. And he says, we don't have Black History Month. We don't have Cinco de Mayo. He says, we're just it's all about Jesus. I got a chance to take a picture with four different ethnicities. In one picture, this is kingdom. Hmm. How exciting is it to know, especially, I'm sorry, but from the Buffalo context,
right?
We're segregated.
Yeah.
The most segregated time is Sunday morning. And so for us to have, for me to see that with my own eyes, I'm like, this is what kingdom is like. Hmm. And, you know, if I can be myself again, I asked permission last week. I got to get permission again.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in the African American church, you know, and a white brother coming to the church, mm-hmm. it's on. Hey, we had a white guy at the church.
You know, it's no different.
It's
no different in the white church.
Isn't that crazy? But
like,
we're.
Hey, did you see that black couple there today? It's like, wait a second. They're just a couple.
They're just a couple. But we don't see
it's
that.
It's so true.
And we don't see it like
And part
that.
Of it is well-intended. It's like we're actually proud. It's like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's awesome.
They came.
We're so excited.
How can we keep them?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that's a beautiful thing. So now how can we mirror that in Buffalo, New York, in this region when we are one of the most segregated areas in the country? How can we do that?
I think some of that, which is really cool, some of that is like out in California, especially in the major cities.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's from there. They're transient areas.
Yeah.
And so nobody's like really tied with roots to like their thing and their area of town and whatever. And Buffalo is such an old Rust Belt city. Is the entrenchment is still there. I mean, you still have Italian areas and, you know, you have African-American areas, Italian areas, different, you know, the Polish-German kind of areas. Yeah. And I think maybe some of that plays into it. But, man, it can't be that way.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was just in Southern California last week. I was in Orange County. And it's one of my favorite places to go to, not just geographically, because it's like, what a beautiful part of the country, you know. But it is fascinating in terms of when you're working with Kingdom partners. So I can go to Irvine. Irvine is a Asian majority city in Orange County.
Wow.
Majority. Mm-hmm. So when I'm sitting down talking strategy about gospel saturation in Irvine, I'm sitting down with my Asian brothers and sisters, like they're predominantly at the table. When I go to Santa Ana, which, you know, a lot of folks, you know, when you look at the future face of evangelical Christianity, just on people groups alone, the future face of evangelical Christianity in the country, not to say that there aren't places for Anglos, that there aren't places for African Americans and Asians, but the predominant face that we're going to see is brown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to Mission Santa Ana, and I'm hanging out with my Mexican brothers and sisters, predominantly Mexican. Yeah. And they're they are culture brokers.
Right. Mm.
They are culture shapers in this community. And and with Buffalo, it is a little bit different.
It is.
You know, we have had a pocket of refugee growth in this city. You know, and so you go down the Grant Street corridor of Buffalo, and it's an area that I love to look at as a demographer, because it's like, this is little Africa. You're like, it's crazy. But when you talk about culture brokering right now, that influence isn't the same just because of the newness of the group. It's not the same as something that's been established now for 40 years or 50 years.
Right.
So that time's coming,
right,
you know, in Buffalo. But it's just fun to be a part of Kingdom Partnership where you can see that stuff. And to be honest, Southern California, Southern Florida, Southern Texas, those places, you know, you just begin to see like this incredible Kingdom diversity.
Well, right in our own backyard, I mean, an area that we reach and we're very active in, as our listeners know, is in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah, a world city.
And, you know, we go up to People's Church in Toronto and spend some time with our friend, you know, Charles Price up there, who's on on our station. By the way, I'm plugging him, on our station every day at 11. But we go up there, and I am like the only white guy in the crowd, and it's African American, and it's Asian, and it's you know, people from Arabia and all over the world, and it's actually really cool because there's just no issue. It's just it's colorblind. It's just it's that context is up there, and so it's cool. I'd love to see that for our area too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're gonna talk about that's kind of the fun stuff. Now let's get down to some brass tacks here. Let's get down to some details. And I want to talk – two things we're going to talk about today is – and Ryan, maybe you can decide what order these go in. But the two we talked about wanting to touch was racial tension in our country.
Yeah.
It's a very real issue. Perhaps an issue that is, as Andre says, you know, it's been swept under the carpet for so many years that we're tripping over it now.
Yeah.
And I think that was interesting to hear. Yeah. And I want to hear more about that, kind of the racial tension that's in our country and perhaps in our own backyard.
Right.
And I want to lead that into our social media and how much our social media defines us as a person and sometimes misrepresents maybe what's in our heart, because we speak through emotions.
Yeah.
And we throw something out there and you can't get it back, or you can delete it, but people saw it.
Yeah.
You know, so let's let's start talking about maybe racial tension.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Andre mentioned this last week, and I just felt like, man, we've got to take some time to unpack this. I know that's something that we keep saying unpack. Definitely not unplug. I was about to say unplug. But, you know, we're sitting on a powder keg.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time there is something like in Charlotte, or something like in Tulsa, or something like in Ferguson, or something that happens so regularly in Chicago, you know, the reality is like we are sitting on a powder keg, and there's just this underlying tension that continues to be in the forefront of the conversation. And I think in many ways it has a lot to do with, because we almost don't know how to engage it the right way.
And I think that the reason why is because we have not had the dialogue when there's not emotions around.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad to plan for a funeral after the person dies versus getting their wishes, planning it out, knowing different things, because there's no emotion in it.
Mm-hmm.
We have waited until everything has hit the fan.
Yeah.
And now we want to discuss it. And now there's even more tension, which is hurting us even more, because now we're saying, should we say something? We know it's the right time. We know we better say something. No, we need to discuss this, Because if not, if we don't bring our brothers and sisters together, and I really thought that we were. I really thought that we were all brothers and sisters. That's what y'all taught me in Sunday school and Bible class. Y'all taught me we were all brothers and sisters. But now it seems like there's a different understanding of who really is my brother and who really is my sister.
Yeah.
So let's take, for instance, we don't want to deal with it, but it smacks us in our face. And we put blinders on like we don't see it. We get smacked in the face by truths. And then we ignore it. There, we really believe that we're in this post-racism era because we have a black president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even going to go into my political things because I really don't believe that Barack Obama, you know, in the African American community, you know, we said that Bill Clinton was our first black president.
Yeah. Funny.
You know, we really do. That was our first black president. Mm-hmm. You know, then he goes, moves his headquarters in Harlem. And so what ends up happening is we rode the wave of this black president. Mm-hmm. And yes, there is some inspiration there. And yes, now our young young boys and young girls now think we can become mayor. We can become a governor. We can become president. We can be anything. Mm-hmm. That's true. But I really don't believe that he necessarily did a lot for the African-American people. And they still love. They want another 8 years of Barack. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Mm-hmm. God bless them. Have we really dealt with it face on?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. We haven't grabbed the horns of this raging bull in America and have not dealt with it. That is racism.
Mm-hmm.
And it smacks us. When we see the injustice, when we see police officer after police officer get no charge, and not only are they not getting any charge, they get a paid vacation for months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm off of work for months. And then I know I'm going to get off.
Let me ask you this question, because this is a place we're just going to be honest. We told each other before we'd be honest. So I have a really interesting question that that I don't understand, but I think I know the answer to, and I want to see if the real answer is what I think it is. the situation in Charlotte, the police officer that shot the man mm-hmm. in Charlotte, or the African-American man shot by an African-American police officer.
Mm-hmm.
That police officer actually happened to go to the same college I went to and played for the football team. So it just interested me. Was some of the rioting, some of the upset nature, the whole turmoil that happened there, was it because he was a police officer? It really didn't matter if he was black or white or whatever as a police officer, because he kind of represented something there, because I think a lot of white people, to be honest, are going, wait, why are you so upset? A black police officer, it couldn't have been race because a black police officer shot him. So, but what is the issue there?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers to that.
Okay.
But this is one thing I do know, is that now what we are finding out mm-hmm. through other officers, mm-hmm. not necessarily in Charlotte, but throughout the country. There's been officers that have now come out saying, even though they're black,
mm-hmm.
they've been told, you got to stop so many African-Americans. They're being told.
Even though they're black.
Even though they're black.
Wow.
Even though they're Hispanic.
Wow.
You know, they're told, look at this area more. Do this. Do that. And when a group of from one particular city stood up, they all got reprimanded.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying that there's an injustice here, but at the same time, we don't know. But I think it's just, to be honest with you, there's two sides to this.
Right.
There's a side that some people just want to riot.
Right. Yeah.
They just want to throw stones, and they're out there to cause trouble. Mm. And then there's some people that are just saying, not another man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that's going to be a little later, maybe the next segment.
Yeah, yeah.
But then social media is not helping.
Right.
Because now it's painting another negative picture.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful, first of all, who has the mic,
mm-hmm.
who's in front of the screen, and who's shooting.
Yeah.
Not the gun, but the camera.
Yeah.
Because there's more damage done from the camera than the bullet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And sometimes the information's out there too fast, and people start assuming.
We don't even
know. Yeah, we don't even know what the truth is yet.
And I think what's fascinating is, and that platform of social media, what I see happen is it's the easier way to express a point of view and not have an honest dialogue sitting down face to face at a table.
It's lazy. Yeah.
It is, yeah. And I think it's detrimental to just some of the some of those breakthrough conversations.
Well, how many people, Ryan, have posted, "Who cares? It's a black cop and a black guy." Like, I'm posting, you've seen that post, but I wanted to ask you because I think I kind of understand where they're coming from. And I wanted to see if you had some insight, and you did. You provided some insight there, and I think that's important for people to do. Is ask a real question if you're curious. And go on, you know.
Yeah.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We have got our friend Andre Clark, better known as Shep, from New Direction Christian Fellowship Church on Fillmore Avenue here in Buffalo. My co-host Ryan Cozy and I were
former
here.
Former
co-host because he's gradually stealing my people one by one. We're here every Sunday, 11 a.m. to noon on Christ Together Radio. Check us out on the WDCXRadio.com website under programs. Go to Christ Together Radio. If there's actually a contact form there that'll email us at our email address, ctr@wdcxradio.com, if you have any questions or comments, which I'm sure you will about this show, as it's a very interesting topic. We're going to be back in just a minute. You won't want to go away because we're going to get even deeper into this issue.
Pastor Ryan Cozy thinks this show is about Christ Together for Western New York. We really know that this is an intervention to rescue him from being a Cleveland Browns fan. Yuck.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson sitting here with Ryan Cozy. We're co-hosts together on mission together, right? Ryan's
right.
A pastor of missional engagement at the chapel. And we're excited to bring you Christ Together Radio every week at 11 a.m. This week, our guest is Andre Clark, a carryover from last week where we had him and his brother Vincent on with us. And Andre is talking about some of the real issues, the racial issues that are facing the church and our culture today. And we're going to hit on social media in just a minute and how that is just such an accelerator of the issues and the real dangers and some of the ways. Maybe, Ryan, you can even give us some of the ways that people can really watch out what to do. And Andre, too. But before we get to that, I asked you a question about the Charlotte shooting of a black police officer on a black suspect, and the black suspect was killed and a powder keg erupted. And during the break, you explained more to me about how it's just kind of that last little feather that lands on the pile that explodes the whole thing because of some of the issues that we're facing in our world. And you have a story that kind of maybe explains some of that. Go ahead and tell your story, Andre.
Well, see. It really is the little feather. I love to watch the cartoon when someone's holding all this stuff, and all of a sudden one little feather comes and land on it, and they can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much. First of all, the media is driving it.
Yeah.
So there's stuff that we should be covering.
Yeah.
That we're not covering.
Well, they're making money off of it.
They're making money, tons of it,
off
of the pain, the hurt, the despair, the loss of families. They're putting mics in people's face that are emotional, and they're speaking out of their emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take, for instance, Corey Beatty. I think his name is Corey Beatty, 19-year-old standout football player from Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. He raped an unconscious woman.
Mm-hmm.
There was videotape. They caught him the whole 9 yards. He was convicted, 25 years to life.
Mm-hmm.
19-year-old football player.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was Brock Turner, who was a swimmer from Stanford, who did the same thing and actually had an eyewitness. As he raped an unconscious woman behind a dumpster.
Exact same crime.
The exact same crime.
Yeah.
He got 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to what the judge said. The judge said these things, and I quote, "A prison sentence would have a severe impact on him. I see me in him because he also was a football star." So he gave him a 6-month sentence. So now you tell me that after year after year after year, after your 12 o'clock news, your 5 o'clock, your 6 o'clock, your 10 o'clock, your 11 o'clock, and your daybreak. That all day you start hearing these stories and nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it is a powder keg. It's like we don't care what happened. We just ain't taking it no more. There's about to be a revolution, and we behind the eight ball, and we're not even having a plan. We're so busy pointing the mic and cameras in front of people in their highest level of emotions instead of saying we need to really have a real conversation about how we can do better. America, listen, I know Trump says make America greater again, and I know Hillary wants, listen, forget the presidential election right now, because I don't care who gets in. If we don't deal with this, they're going to have a crisis on their hand. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a real crisis, and it's the race crisis. And it's because we have not sat down and had dialogues like this. Now what do we do? Mm-hmm. This was open. And guess what? This has been happening for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I say there's been a white privilege?
Yeah.
And people don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That the system was not for us. Mm-hmm. The system wasn't for anyone that. And the crazy thing is that years ago, if we really want to do our history, years ago, there was white slaves that came over first. And then they began to separate when they went to Africa. And then now it was the Africans that was lower. And then there was another class above blacks. And so now we do the same thing. And then the crazy part is, not inside the African-American race, our own black race, we have our own pride system, light skin over dark skin. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to beat this system. So now we have racism from black and white, and then we do it to ourselves because no one wants to be at the end. No one wants to be at the bottom of the food chain.
Everybody's climbing over somebody.
Yeah.
So now where do we go from there? Where do we go from there? Mm. Where do we begin to? You got a big thing that you got to unpack. You took all your stuff from one house to another house. All your stuff is packed up. Years and years of pictures, clothes, everything. Is it toys? Everything. And you sit down after getting all your boxes in the house. What do you unpack first? Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. Mm-hmm. That's where we are.
It's from just a normal person driving along listening today, it's overwhelming because it's like, what do I do? I don't know. I'm not a public official. I'm not, if I'm a public official, I could have a meeting. I don't know what to do. And I think the answer is start by doing stuff like this. And they don't have a radio show either. But I'm not saying have a radio show.
Start a radio show in your basement.
Exactly.
Become a local ham operator.
Yeah, exactly. That's called podcasting now.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, little zing there from the radio, folks.
I think the issue is have conversations. When you see little things, honestly, I try to do this. When I see an African-American friend or somebody, a brother or sister in a store or whatever, I try to show, hey, man, how you doing? I try to go a little bit extra mile. And I don't know if that Andre, you can. I'm asking honestly. I try to go an extra mile. I hold the door a little longer now because I try to do little tiny things to say, man, I'm for you.
You're being intentional in it.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm being like
it has to come. It still comes from relationship. Yeah, I'll say something. If I can talk about Ryan for a moment. Yeah. He hates when I call him Dr. Ryan. but now watch this. When everything went down in Louisiana and Minnesota and then Dallas, the shooting in Dallas, the cops.
Yeah.
I'm at my church, Fillmore Winslow, at 7:30 in the morning. I get there at 7. Sunday school starts at 8:45. I'm there. It's just me and my brother. I hear a knock on the door. And I'm looking through these windows that we have, and I see a white guy. And I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not about to answer this door.
It's a crazy white dude.
I don't know. First of all, we don't see a lot of white people walking down the street. Right. So I'm not answering the door. And then I just see the hand. And so I said, he's friendly. So
that's really funny.
I'm being so honest.
Yeah, I love it.
And I look and watch this. Uh-huh. I pause because I noticed it was Ryan. Uh-huh. Ryan just wanted to come and see how I was doing. With everything that was happening.
That's cool.
With everything. Listen, he went out of his way. Mm-hmm. He had to go to church in Gettysville. And I'm not saying to blow smoke or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's what a brother does.
Yeah.
Feel our pain. Mm-hmm. And don't be fake about it. Be honest. Mm-hmm. Be real. Let it be real and genuine. And that's what we must do. Mm-hmm. Not just grab a token white friend or a token black friend. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I've heard this personally from members that I know that go to the chapel. And I'm not trying to plug. I hope I'm not in trouble for plugging. Mm-hmm. But they says they pray for you. They pray for your church. Mm-hmm. That's real. Mm-hmm. If we don't, my pastor friend from Akron Free Methodist Church, he inboxed me, is it okay if we just mention you in our prayers? Yes. Mm-hmm. Pastor Marty from Batavia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. City Church.
He's praying for me. That's where it has to start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being honest, hug me. Don't be scared of me. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's some thugs out there. And let's be honest. There's thugs in black, white, Hispanic,
Asian. Oh, absolutely.
The mafia. Let me leave that alone.
Yeah. Oh, no, brutal. Absolutely.
So don't be afraid.
No, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I kind of live in a country setting, but I went home literally yesterday. We don't see a lot of people on our street. And there's a really shady-looking white dude on his phone in the corn. I have a cornfield across the street. He's standing on the edge of the cornfield, or looking at my house, talking on the phone, looking kind of, you know, like not all with it.
Suspect.
Yeah. I prejudged him.
Mm.
Absolutely. Because I didn't know what, because he looked like a shady white dude. There's shady white dudes out there for sure, you know. Now, maybe that he just needed help or whatever. I said, hey, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. He was just talking to his friend. It's just a good place to stop and talk to his friend, I guess.
Yeah.
I did lock my doors last night, put the alarm system on. But, you know, I don't know. So I guess that happens no matter what context you're in. There's shady people.
There are. I think one of the things that comes to mind, like I wanted to go back and say, like, when you said, hey, is it awkward if I do that? I would just say, just stop trying to do the handshake thing you do, because that is a little awkward for folks when you're trying to high five.
Wait, what does the handshake look like?
Oh, no, it's a white dude's attempt. It's bad. He did it earlier.
Do the high, and you miss, and you miss.
No, but, you know, with regard to what Andre's talking about, I feel like what's been exciting in this journey for us, and it has been because we have a relationship, now we can start talking about strategies.
Yep.
We can start talking about, like, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, the challenge is, and for suburban churches, maybe I could say this as a generalization, and some probably don't do this, but many I've seen this, I've observed this, that we want to start talking about solutions before we have relationship. And the reality is, when you don't have a relationship and you don't have an understanding of the context, your solutions will represent that ignorance. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And especially when if you're replicating the problem. Mm-hmm. So a thing that I've personally learned in this process has been when with relationship, where we've gone to is, if anybody's taken a sociology 101 class, you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of need. And it's the idea that a society or a context cannot develop until these baseline needs are met. And that bottom one is physiological need. So your strategy then starts to go around, okay, well, what do we do about adequate housing? What do we do about adequate health care? What do we do about adequate nutrition? Right. Mm-hmm. So then your strategies, they start being born out of physiological things, and then they're born out of safety things or security things. And only till the very end do you get to the point of self-actualization where you're leaving legacy, like, but you've got to build a block somewhere. And it's almost like when the green light is given because the relational trust is there, you then can start working on some strategies. And have we made mistakes? Oh, my gosh. Of course we have. But I think that that's a big part of, you know, not just being angry, but then saying, okay, now what do we do together?
Because we have to understand one another.
Right.
I think Vince said that last week. We have to love. We have to understand. We were in a meeting. John and Jessica?
Yeah.
And we were at a meeting, and they run the finance team, I believe, the financial planning and whatever at the chapel. And so we were talking about, you know, different things. And so I'm like, well, we will have a different context. Because I have members that are going to come to me about, Pastor, I don't know if I can I don't have enough money to pay for my medicine and my food. And then I says, you might run up against a problem that might say, I don't know if I'm running into a problem because I'm behind on my boat. You know, I'm behind on my boat payment. You know, there's just there's a different context. If you take 250 African American incomes from the east side of Buffalo, and take 250 from a suburban context, that's two different levels of giving. That's two different levels of education. That's two different levels of abilities. And so we can't do apples for apples. And we have to recognize that that now we can sit down because of the relationship. We have crossed the railroad track. The crazy thing about the railroad track analogy is that a railroad track is made to bring things together. But we cause it to bring divide. We put one thing on one side of the railroad track and another thing on another side, and we cause it to be divide and not bring things together. So how can we get back on the train together and bring things back together?
That's good.
That is interesting.
It is interesting. Like, I know we got a little bit before the break, but it's funny that, that railroad track line, that this is just think about the irony of this, is when you look at this demographically in much of the city, you're looking at Main Street, that divide. What runs under Main Street?
The railroad.
The subway. You know, it's just an interesting thing.
It's the subway, the railway. The railway.
True. It's a divide.
So, wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that divides our east side from our west side? Oh, my goodness.
Powerful. Hey, we're going to – I don't want to finish today's show without getting into social media. I think that's huge thing that, that maybe plays into everything we're talking about today. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX. Ryan Cozy, who's the Pastor of Missional Engagement at the Chapel. And also we're here with Andre Clark, who's the Pastor and Shepherd of New – I like saying Shepherd because they call you Shep. So he's a New Direction Christian Fellowship Pastor. And we're so glad to have him here to kind of bring some context to some of these racial issues. We're going to be talking about social media in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away. It's about to get really interesting here on Christ Together Radio.
Some say Ryan Cozy has a face for radio. Others say he's the lead candidate for Mr. January in the Christ Together Network Pastor's Calendar. I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're here every Sunday, 11 a.m. to noon. Ryan Cozy, and I'm Brett Larson. Andre Clark joins us today. He's the pastor of New Direction Christian Fellowship on Fillmore Avenue in Buffalo, New York. We're talking about some of the racial issues that are facing our nation, facing our church, how we can come together for reconciliation, all for the purpose. We're not just doing this for fun, and we're not just promoting this for fun. We're all doing this for a purpose, to where we represent the kingdom of God. We are God's people on mission, and we cannot accomplish that unless every person who's made in the image of God matters to every person in the kingdom of God. And that is, that's a big issue. And, you know, for America being what it is a, what used to be called a Christian nation and a very churched nation, there is still this issue that I like how Andre puts it, that we're tripping over now. We've swept it under the rug to the point where we're tripping over the rug. And one of the big issues that we need to deal with in the church today, and Pastor Jerry Gillis always, I love how he talks about social media, because it's like, I just want to scream yes, because he's so right that we have to be so careful of social media to the point where maybe we don't need an account if it's that bad.
Yeah, there's you know, there's a phrase he used a few weeks, maybe a couple months ago. You know, it's just with all the stuff that's been going on this summer, he just talked about, don't be a keyboard cowboy. The idea that social media, in some ways, it's this easy out to, like, put on blast your opinion and then drop the mic and walk away. And then you pick the mic back up when you're angry or you want to tell people how stupid they are. And to be honest, it's incredibly embarrassing when you watch the fights take place between believers. You know, it's one thing if you're like, you know, well, those folks are unconvinced of the gospel. But it's a completely other when you're going, man, just we both have given our life to King Jesus, and we're screaming at each other here. You know, don't be the keyboard cowboy. I think that's a great way.
And don't ever write in all caps.
Yeah.
It's just
I hope my dad's listening. My dad writes your dad's
that guy.
He's like,
he's yelling at everybody.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
But actually, he's a loyal listener of the show in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, boy. So he's gonna be calling when this gets posted on social media.
Yeah. But yeah, no, just that ability to not be a keyboard cowboy. But, you know, Andre, I'd love to get your perspective on this, too, with what you see in Facebook and just how do we help the everyday listener of this show? Just how do we steward this well?
First of all, you said something very powerful. I believe you said it. Mm-hmm. We represent the mission.
Mm-hmm.
One, do we really recognize what the mission is for all men?
Mm-hmm.
Every boy, every girl, every color. That's the first thing. The second thing is when we start talking about how we represent ourselves on social media, y'all remember, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, there was a lady called Sweet Brown. Sweet Brown. I ain't got time for that.
I ain't got time to do that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. I got bronchitis. Now listen. That was
awesome.
How the news would always pick, it just seemed they always would pick the worst person
to talk about this accident.
That's true of everybody.
That's what they always pick the worst person.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happened? Social media allows all of them access to everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, we got thousands of friends. That's a bunch of sweet brown, whatever her name is.
Sweet tea.
So what ends up happening is I can say, y'all don't want to hear that. We used to be able to, in the racial, when we say that we are politically correct and, you know, we don't want to say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now people can't say certain words. So those things have changed, but their heart never changed.
Hmm.
So now what they couldn't say on the air,
yeah,
they could say on social media.
Right. We just forced it.
We forced it to another extreme.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like we put a dam up and we just forced it to go somewhere else. So now on social media.
Right.
And for me to hear pastors, for me to hear people that I know are on staff at different churches, for me to see such hatred, it's pure hatred. How can we worship together and we don't even like each other? How can we plant churches and build the kingdom and walk hand in hand? And what ends up happening is then it goes back to another feather because now we're saying, see, they do believe, all of them believe like that.
Mm-hmm.
All of them believe like that. And see, my daddy told me don't trust them. You see, and we go right. So really all social media has done, it's taking us even further back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not helping us to build unless we're going to go on social media and actually put those pictures of a picture of us sitting in a room together talking. Unless we're going to put a picture of me and Ryan, we taking a selfie, you know, at the Oak Room. I got to take them to the Oak Room, take a picture at the Oak Room and then post it on. We have to do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have to, because if not, the world has their finger on the keyboard and on their phone, and they're saying some demonic, hateful, evil things. And guess what? It's getting in the airwaves, mm-hmm. and it's getting in people's gateways, and now it's triggering somebody that would never even say something like that. Now, because they read it, they're now going. Mm-hmm. And now they're putting it. That's the sad thing. It's only add, not subtracting.
Yeah, and it's instant. And in a world where, you know, we no longer take time to process things, we see a video and within an hour of a shooting or of an issue or whatever, with a presidential debate, as it happens, people are tweeting and posting things. And so we no longer take time to sit and consider what we're going to say and how it impacts and actually give thought to what we're going to say. We just kind of stick it out there.
Yeah.
And that's true of mainstream media too.
I mean, it's
instant. And, right. There's no longer consideration of, hey, will this story cause more harm? There used to be, I mean, I'm a media guy. I've, you know, my undergrad is in media.
It's true.
And Yeah, well, yeah. I'm dramatic. There used to be, they used to teach, you know, make check your sources, check this, check that, make sure it's legit, make sure you're not causing more harm. You have a social responsibility to, you know, the people you serve to be accurate with what you're, now it's just because of the rates, I have to be first, because if I'm not first, my ratings aren't going to be any good, and I'm not going to get any, you know, I'm not going
to
make any money.
Yeah.
Did you see that on when the Charlotte shooting happened?
Mm-hmm.
They were, see, another white guy. Another white guy has shot another innocent black guy. Yeah. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We still see the body on the ground.
That's all you're seeing.
How do you know
it
was a white cop that shot this? We don't know yet. And then it turns out it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are there are times where the time sensitivity of a media related situation is in, you know, the Twitter sphere and the Facebook sphere, those things are valuable,
information. If a tornado is coming.
Things too. I mean, we need to probably pay attention to this. It's in those moments, though, like, can the church shape culture? Can we shift culture in how we handle ourselves in social media? That's, to me, that's the ingredient of, you know, just walking in the light of Jesus. He's the light of the world. My kids are memorizing John 8:12 right now. You know, just, he's the light of the world. If we walk in him, there's no darkness. We'll find life.
Yeah.
We have this incredible opportunity to steward our lives well and to have it be tangibly different than everything else we see. And what's so sad, I think this is what my bigger point on this is, what's so sad is sometimes I could look at an evangelical's feed on Twitter or on Facebook, and I can look at an unbeliever's feed, and I don't know that I can see a distinguishable difference. Like, that to me is what's problematic. And even as I say this, I have this picture of my wife going, yeah, you should pay attention to that yourself, you know, like, because I love news and I like to forward things on. Yeah. But, you know, it's just that can we slow ourselves down to say, Lord, I represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If I put this out there, how is this going to help to shift the culture toward Jesus awareness, I guess, is what I would want to say with that.
You know, guys, I'm going to throw you a softball here, so you better hit this one out of the park. So. But where does that start for a believer? Like, where does it start? To where you begin to look at things different, and you begin to look at things as the light of the world, and you begin, because I think it starts with daily becoming, and Ryan, this goes back to our very first program, daily becoming intimate with God our Father through relationship with Him, through reading His Word, through Bible study, through praying, and eventually it begins to shape your worldview, right?
Well, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2 says, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. So if I'm going to be a Christian, I always tell this when I teach it at my church. I says, you know, I got married 17 years ago, just celebrated 17 years on Sunday, awesome. With my lovely wife, Jennifer, and she would be in dangerous waters if I still had a single man's mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I now say that I'm a new man, I'm a married man, but I got a single man's mind, single man's mentality. So if we're going to be a Christian, I can't think like I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
My mind must be renewed. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have fear. That's not of God. So we're doing a lot of things from our old perspective. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're supposed to see differently. We're supposed to feel differently. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so I got to put on the mind of Christ. And so it does come with my daily devotion. I believe in daily devotion. I believe in reading your Bible. I believe in getting up praying. I believe in those things. And I believe that if we get to flushing those things out of our system and we begin to detox, because sometimes we need to take a break from social media.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a break because you know what? We are, watch this, we're being formed by other people's opinions and thoughts, and we haven't had any time to think about what God has said. We have not checked into what God wants us to say. And so we kind of take it for granted that, you know, our relationship is tight. It reminds me of Speaker Bishop T. Anthony Brunner just spoke last night, and he talked about when Joshua didn't consult God when he went to go fight Ai. And they got whooped. Mm-hmm. He didn't consult God. And sometimes we do things. We do things that we have not consulted God in. Mm-hmm. We say things that we you being ultra spiritual, you know, you just mm-hmm. doing. No, I mean, no, I don't have to go and ask God, should I brush my teeth? No, I should go brush my teeth. But, you know, we make and say things and we build relationships off of emotions and not being spirit led. I understand that's a word that we don't like to use anymore, but we need to be more spirit led, even in what we type. Mm-hmm. Have we ever typed something? I know I have. I've mm-hmm. typed something, and it was this long, drawn-out thing. And I looked at it, and I had to erase it because it didn't sit in my spirit.
Yeah, I've done mm-hmm. that, too. Yeah. I've done that, too.
It just hasn't set in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And are we really doing that? Are mm-hmm. we really saying, what if Andre, you now know me. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to build a relationship. We're going to have breakfasts, and we're going to let Ryan pick. I'm not going to fight.
Oh, he's going to pay.
I'm not going to fight this time. You know what I'm saying? He has a company car. I'm just playing. He's a company man.
That's a late model Saturn Ion, ladies and gentlemen.
So what ends up happening is you build relationships. Can I tell you this? This is what my mentor, Matthew Brown, tells me all the time. He says, you know you're in a relationship with someone when you know where their bathrooms are.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's true.
I mean, that's when I feel comfortable to go, I know where Ryan's bathroom mm-hmm. is. I know where your bathroom mm-hmm. is. And so sometimes we want relationship for social media state. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even our relationship with God mm-hmm. is for the church sake. We don't have a real relationship mm-hmm. outside of the church. Our relationship is an appointment.
That's a whole show.
From 9 to 10, from 10 to 11. That's our relationship with God. It's not a relationship all week.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah. I feel like I've been to church, Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh. But how can you be prejudiced towards me mm-hmm. when God wasn't?
Right.
How can you prejudge me when God gave me a second chance?
Right.
We sing a song, He looked beyond all our faults and mm-hmm. saw our needs. Mm-hmm. Why can't we do the same for each other?
Yeah.
I want to look past that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and actually, it's an affront to the gospel.
Mm.
That's really what you're saying, is that it's... And I don't think a lot of people are on purpose, but I think a lot of people could use some heart check. Right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is... Yeah. And I think that the solve for this is, daily intimacy with God. The reality is, like, the good that comes out of me, when there is good that comes out of me, is gospel good.
Mm.
And so if I'm feeding gospel good into my life daily, then gospel good will come out.
Yeah.
But there's just so many of us as evangelicals, the struggle is, do I do that daily? And so for those listening, like, make it an effort to daily pursue God. I think that's where it starts. And we better represent the King, and gospel good can come out.
And ask Him, ask God what He can show you in your life that needs changing. And I think that's kind of the summation of what we're doing. We just have a few seconds left. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. You were listening to Christ Together Radio, and we're just so thankful you've joined us today. For Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy, my co-host, and for Andre Clark, pastor of New Direction Christian Fellowship, I want to thank you for tuning in. And just think this week, what can I do differently on social media, and how can I live more intimately with my Savior to make a difference in the world, especially when it comes to this issue of racial reconciliation?
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.